Psalm 46, just one more time before we get into the sermon. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So this morning, when you think of a refuge, you think of a place of protection, what sort of image comes to your mind? Is it possibly something like a castle? Something like a fortified citadel? Maybe your own home? Maybe a bank vault? There's certain things that we consider to be bulletproof, airtight, and safe. And for you this morning, it's worth reflecting on when the storms, the hardships, the difficulties of life come your way, what sort of refuge do you run to? What sort of stronghold do you find yourself going to time and time again? What is it that you trust in? What is it that you think will make you safe? This morning, this text in Psalm 46, as you can hear, is a beautiful psalm. It's a wonderful psalm. Many famous songs have been written from this psalm. And it's important for us today because all of us experience hardships. Every single one of us, year in and year out, are going through the storms of life. They just simply change as time moves on. And all of us, in addition to that, are tempted to run to false refuges, to fortresses that are not actually fortresses in themselves. They just appear to be fortresses. And every one of us needs to find comfort, confidence, and encouragement in the one true fortress that we have. This psalm is a corporate psalm that Israel likely sung as they walked up towards Zion, as they made their kind of annual commute up to the city of Jerusalem. Many of them would likely be singing this psalm together, families, communities, praising the one true God. So the big idea of Psalm 46 today is this. When life falls apart, the Lord alone is our fortress. When life is falling apart, God alone is our fortress. We're going to be looking at three pieces, the three stanzas. The first stanza, we're going to be looking at the extent of God's protection. The second stanza, we're going to be looking at the basis of God's protection. And then third, we're going to be looking at the results of God's protection. And so as you heard, the psalm begins with, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is the refuge and the help of Israel. Israel has to sing this year after year because why? Why do they have to sing this psalm regularly? Because they have to be reminded that God alone is their fortress rather than the many other things that Israel was prone to run to, whether it be other kingdoms, other nations, other kings to support them like Egypt, the broken reed that when they lean upon it, it snaps and pierces their hands. They're prone to lean into false religion, idols, false gods, their own wealth, their own wisdom. Israel was prone to run to basically everything and anything other than Yahweh, their true king, their true fortress. And so they had to sing this over and over again to see and understand that these other false fortresses and false refuges are nothing but tin cans, shacks, cardboard boxes, like a greenhouse. It looks like it's a structure. It looks like it could keep you safe, but it's never going to in the end. And they sang that he is a very present help in trouble. Very present in the sense that easily found, immediately accessible. In the way that you can just reach your hand down into your pocket and grab your phone. The Lord, your fortress, is accessible. They needed to hear that. They need to remember that and see that. In the way that many people today who are wealthy have fortresses built into their own homes. You guys heard of these things called panic rooms, right? They have these bulletproof vaults in their own houses because what's a fortress if you can't access it? What's a fortress if it's miles away? So too the Lord is immediately found, immediately accessible. And it says, the Lord is our fortress, the Lord is our help. He's very present, easily found. Therefore what? Therefore we will not fear. If God is our fortress, Israel, and if God is immediately accessible, that means you don't have to be afraid. The extent of to which they don't need to be afraid is the imagery that follows. It says, even if the world is falling apart, he says, if the mountains in the heart of the sea are shaking and its waters are foaming and foiling and wafting, this imagery that he's using here is that of the world basically falling apart. For them at that time, the mountains at the heart of the sea was essentially what held up the skies. And so the psalmist is saying, Israel, you don't need to fear, even if the world itself is crumbling beneath you. The very ground is shaking, and it's as if there was another flood and everybody is dying. Even then, because the Lord is your fortress and he is ever present, you do not need to fear. The question he's really getting at is, how much can God handle? And his answer, the extent of his protection is measureless. And it's a simple logical deduction, right? If this God is real, and if he is my fortress, if he is ever present and immediately accessible, I really don't need to be afraid. If those two things are true, I don't need to fear. In the way that somebody, if you're in a cruise ship and you see a great white shark in the water, you're not worried. You're not afraid whatsoever. If you see a 20-foot shark while you're in the water, on the other hand, fear will be running through your entire body. But on the cruise ship, you're so far high and above the shark, it's nothing to you. It means nothing because it's not a threat whatsoever. So too, Israel's God is a protection for them. And this morning, maybe you're thinking something like, well, great. Like Israel, though, I keep trying to run to my fortress. I keep pleading with my king to protect me, to help me, to aid me. And he doesn't seem to be taking away this difficulty, this hardship in my life. And I think it is important to remember that the Lord doesn't always rescue us from the hardship, but he is always the fortress in the midst of the hardship. If you read the book of James, how does it start off? It starts off, count it all joy when you meet various trials and difficulties. Why? Because in the testing of your faith, there is the production of endurance. And through the production of endurance, when it has its perfect work, there comes maturity and eventually glorification. And so the Lord himself does not always rescue us from the difficulty, but he is and will always be the one and single fortress that we can run to immediately every time to get us through. So this morning, what are you afraid of? What is gnawing at your heart? What is making you unsure? What is troubling you? Think about the extent of his protection that this imagery gives. even if the very world itself, the most stable things, the mountains, the ocean, the ground you walk on, even if those things are falling apart, you still don't need to fear. That is the message of the psalmist this morning. The Lord can handle it. Though, as you already know, you cannot. So the extent of his protection is measureless, and when life crumbles, the Lord alone is our fortress. Our second point is the basis of his protection. In verses 4 through 7, it starts out, "There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn." And so what the psalmist is showing here is the reason why they have this protection from the Lord as the city of Jerusalem, as his people, is because God himself has chosen to dwell in Jerusalem. God himself has decided to make Jerusalem the home of his temple. He comes down to meet with his people over the ark as his glory is manifested in the city of Jerusalem, in the temple itself. And what does that bring? He uses imagery of inside and outside. Within the city, it's like a river of life flowing through it. What does a good, fresh river bring to a city? It brings cleanliness. It brings health. It brings vitality. It brings food. It brings life. And also, as a fortress, he protects them from all the things outside of the city. The walls, as long as he is in its midst, as long as he is present, the city will not be taken. And Israel needed to hear this over and over and over again. The Lord's presence itself, as it were, bolted down the city as the rest of the world was shaking. He being there makes it unmovable. But again, why is he present in Jerusalem? Why has he chosen the people of Israel? Well, that's just it. It's simply because he chose them. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see over and over again, God doesn't choose to dwell with Israel or love Israel because Israel is so great. He chooses to dwell with Israel simply because of his good pleasure. And I think that's comforting in many ways for us this morning, because that means it's the same thing for you. If you know the Lord today, if you call Jesus your King, he chose you. He's the one who decided to make you his. And when he did that, it was despite your weaknesses. It was despite your flaws and your sins. And so that means if you are failing, if you are faltering, he's not just going to leave you high and dry. He's not just going to cease to be your protector, because it was never about your faithfulness from the very beginning. This morning, it's worth reflecting on, how do you think God thinks of you? What does God think about you? How does he view you? Often we ourselves know that we're not worth being fortressed. We know that we're not worth protecting at times, because we do fail so often. But when he looks at you, he sees Christ. When he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his own Son. Therefore, he protects and he guards what is his. So it's his presence that is the basis for their protection, and it brings life. But we also see the nations are that which is moved. The nations outside of Israel, the nations outside of Jerusalem, are that which is shaken. The words he uses here are the same words that he used for the sea falling apart and foaming and everything being destroyed, basically. And the psalmist is showing here that because the nations do not have Yahweh, because they create false fortresses, because they go to false things like the tin shacks, like the cardboard box, like the greenhouse for shelter, they are shaken and they are destroyed. I was watching a video not too long ago about these astronauts. And sometimes, you know, astronauts, they go on the space station in the middle of space. They go outside in their spacesuit and they work and do repairs. And it's interesting, they have to have this tether that keeps them connected to the space station. Because all sorts of space junk comes flying. There's waves that move and influx space and they could fly off. And in many ways, as Christians, in this world full of sin, a fallen world with all sorts of dangers every day, it is as if we are working on the space station, but we have a tether that will never break. A tether that is giving you oxygen and life as long as you need. But all the nations, those who do not trust in the Lord, it's like working in space without the tether. The smallest thing that comes by, the biggest thing that comes by, either way, it's going to knock them off. And they're going to be flying endlessly because they were not grounded. They did not have the Lord as their protector. So today, it's worth thinking like the nations. What are the false fortresses that you run to? What are the fake protectors that you embrace rather than your one true King? Why do you pick those? Have they been working? When you know they don't work, why do you keep using them? Things to reflect on this morning. So we see the extent of his protection is measureless. We see the presence, or I should say, the basis of his protection is his presence. So when life shatters, the Lord alone is your fortress. Point number three, the result of God's protection. Notice in verse 8, it starts off with, "Come, behold the works of the Lord." Now, why does it start there? Israel knows God is their fortress. They're told it over and over again. But because their faith is weak, like us, because their trust is shallow, like us, they not only have to be told it over and over again, but they also have to be told, look at his faithfulness. Look at what he's done in the past. Look back to things like the Exodus, right? When you read the Old Testament, the Exodus is talked about so much. One, because it's a picture of God's redemption and eventually how Christ will redeem us in the greater second Exodus. But it's also helpful for the people of God to remember that he is faithful to his promises. And so too here, come, behold the works of the Lord. He will make desolations of the nations who come against you. He will destroy the sword, the spear. He will light on fire the chariots. One day, anybody that's a threat, those things will all cease. And we know that in the future that will take place because we can look back to his faithfulness in the past. Just as we know the sun will rise tomorrow because it has risen every day since the world began, so too, we know God will be faithful to his own tomorrow because he has been faithful to his own every day since the world also began. And so again, how has the Lord shown faithfulness to you in the past? How has he delivered you in the previous years? Does that encourage you? Does that help you? May that strengthen you for the days to come. What this leads to, the result, is Zion must rest. He says, be still and know that I, not you, not the nations, not your issues, I am God. They belong to the Almighty, the one true King. Last night, our son, he had a nightmare in the middle of the night, and Caitlin went in to reassure him everything that he was feeling, everything he was thinking from this kind of false reality in the dream was not true, and he was just fine. He was okay. He was in bed at home with mom and dad, completely safe. So too, God has to tell his people, I'm here. You're mine. Things may seem difficult and hard as they are, but ultimately, I'm here and I'm with you to comfort you and help you get through. So again, today, what is the threat? What's the thing that's coming at you, potentially or in reality, that's making you fret this morning? What's coming your way that is causing you worry? Like Israel, we too can rest in the fact that God is our fortress. If he is the fortress, and if he is ever present, like Israel, therefore we do not need to fear. And we can be still and know that He is God. He will deliver. But if you notice also this last piece, it says, I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted among the earth. Now in this psalm, the nations so far at this point have been the bad guys. They've been the people possibly coming against Israel to harm the nation. To harm Israel, God's people. But God says, one day there will come a day where I will destroy all war, and all the nations will come to worship me, and I will be exalted by them. And when you read the book of Revelation, the very end of the vision, in chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, there is this wonderful scene of the ultimate fortress, the ultimate citadel, the ultimate walled city. And what do you find in this city? You find there is a river of life that is flowing through the New Jerusalem. And God's people are in the city, eating and partaking from the tree of life. And where is the source of this river? In Revelation, in the New Jerusalem to come, the source of this river of the water of life is the throne of Christ Himself. That's what this passage is ultimately pointing forward to. Yes, it is a help for us today. Yes, God the King is one we can run to now. But we forever, in the last day, will be fortressed by Him. He will not leave His beloved in corruption, because He allowed Christ His Son to be unfortressed for us. If you think about what has happened in the incarnation, it is striking. God the Son takes on human flesh. He becomes exposed to a sinful, fallen world. And then what does He do? He takes on the guilt of our sins, and He becomes the ultimately forsaken, left outside of the refuge one for us. He bears the wrath. He bears the curse. He is put to death so that we might be fortressed forever. And so, people of God, this morning, lay hold, grasp the great gift that you have in the King who loves you, the King who knows you, the King who is your refuge. And if this morning you don't know that King, it's worth thinking about. Where do I run? What is that going to do for me? How has that been helpful? You may be, if you don't know the Lord, you may be able to run to these tin shacks, these cardboard boxes, and these glass houses for a time. But in the day of death, you will have nowhere to run. And you need to think on that, because this good King invites you to know Him and love Him. So in conclusion, when life falls apart, the Lord alone is our fortress. The extent of His protection is measureless. The basis of His protection is His presence. The result of His protection is rest. Run to the true fortress in Christ. Stop settling for the false things that we have. It's worth noting, again, this is a song that they sung regularly. So too, we will now sing it. So we're going to finish our service singing Psalm 46. It is only fitting.